The reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 1. You'll find that on page 1092 in the church Bibles or on the screen. It's starting at the first verse and carrying on to the 11th verse. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to those men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days ye will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the time or date the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Amen.
We are coming to the end of this particular series, The PowerPoints of Faith, and we're thinking about witness this morning, because you remember way back at Christmas time, we started thinking about good news, how nice it is to hear good news and how nice it feels good to share good news with someone else, doesn't it? It's actually a nice thing. It's a good thing. And so we started by saying, okay, well, let's just back up a little bit and we'll find out who Jesus is, whether he's truly who he says he is, and if he is, then how to respond to his claims on our lives. And then we went on about how we can be sure that we're Christians, because that's actually a very important point, so that we've got the assurance, the confidence that we are. And then we talked about confessing our sin, receiving forgiveness, building on God's word, knowing that there are some things that we feel that will change, and other things that are true and real that will never change. And that we need to if you remember the train, we had this train where we had the facts of God and his word, our faith and our feelings. We needed to make sure that we put our attention and our faith in the right direction, otherwise there's no power and we just end up in a muddle. And then we've carried on and we started thinking about being filled with the Holy Spirit by faith, and whether that was something that we could be sure about, and what that even meant, being led and empowered by the Holy Spirit and that kind of life. That's quite a lot. And then, of course, we started thinking about the way to do is to be. That we would be bearing fruit by being like Jesus, because Jesus is good news and it's all about him. And that's where we get to right now. Sharing our faith. And really, there are a couple of problems that I think most of us have encountered at different points. First is when it comes to sharing our faith. First is fear, that we don't want to seem like we're pushy or we're weird. You know, sometimes have you ever been on the receiving end of that, where someone, you find out that they're a Christian, but the only reason you can tell is because you're having a perfectly ordinary conversation, and then all of a sudden, in their mind, a switch flicks, and they suddenly go into, "This is a conversation." And all of a sudden they get all kind of like spooky and kind of spiritual and all weird about it. And it's like, why would we do that? Because the fact of the matter is that Jesus is good news for all of our life. and we receive this new birth, this new life, this new start, this forgiveness of sins, and all those other brilliant things that we've talked about, and we stay who we are, but we then change and grow. But we don't suddenly become weird, unless you were weird beforehand, in which case all of your friends know that. You're consistent, at least. You look the same, you sound the same, but inside you're completely different. And so there is the fear of seeming a little bit pushy, a little bit weird. And our society doesn't help, because as soon as anyone speaks about their faith, they're accused of proselytizing, being a fundamentalist, an extremist, an ism, or that, this, that, and the other. And to be honest, that is something that is a concern. But I think it's dealt with by being normal. And recognizing that the gospel is meant to be good news. It's not about hurting, killing, being mean to people. It's actually about sharing God's love and God's truth. Actually saying, look, the prison door is open. Why don't you come outside? It's wonderful. That's not actually a very scary kind of proselytizing, is it? Saying, your life might be okay now, but it could be better. That's actually not bad news at all, is it? And so we need to recognize those things that we've seen already, that good news feels good to share, and it actually is a good thing to be a Christian. I like being a Christian. I hope you do. Because, let's face it, if you are a Christian, you're going to be forever. So, you know, come to terms with it. Get pleased about it. So that's the first thing, that sometimes we're fearful of being weird, or perhaps people's reactions to us. But usually that's got more to do with how we're being rather than the gospel. Because Jesus is just good news. And what he has done for us is just good news. If we're abrasive and obnoxious in the way that we share good news, if we get a bad reaction, that's not because of our message. It's because we're being obnoxious. Can you see there's a distinction there? So that's the first thing. Handy hint number one. Share good news, don't be obnoxious. Is this practical? Secondly, the other reason that sometimes we have the fear, I suppose it's not quite fear, but our confidence is undermined, is because we know that sometimes we're telling people about forgiveness, we're telling people about an abundant life, and that actually our experience of that is less. And so we go, I want to tell you about God's grace, about God's goodness, I want to tell you about God's forgiveness, but actually today I'm really struggling with sin and guilt, and I feel pretty rubbish. And so we think, that undermines my confidence, because at best I'm being a hypocrite. At worst, I'm just, ugh. I'm sure that none of you ever experienced that, but I do occasionally. And so just put yourself in my shoes for a moment and think, what would it be like to not have great confidence about sharing my faith? Because I know when I look in the mirror, I'm not everything that I want to be and that God wants me to be. That would undermine my confidence, wouldn't it? That if someone turned around and said, well, you don't, I'd have to agree with them. And I would. And I've said before that somebody said to me, I don't want to come to your church because the church is full of hypocrites. And I shared with them the good news that there was always room for one more. That we are all falling short of what we could be and what God has done for us. But that doesn't stop us getting started and starting to grow in our experience of forgiveness and God's grace. And so good news is very down to earth. It's very practical. It's believable, because it's God coming to us and meeting us and bringing us up. The hungry fed, the humble lifted high. He doesn't say, you get up here, or at least act like you're up here, and then people will listen to you. But actually he's saying, be honest about who you are, because actually it's in your weakness and in your foolishness that my strength, my wisdom, my goodness is seen. So don't worry about being yourself, but make sure that you always point towards me, because I'm the good news. And that's what it's about. And let's face it, you look at the disciples in the beginning of Acts. Well, you look at the disciples at the end of the Gospels, and they're a bunch of chickens, aren't they? Oh, look, the soldiers are coming to arrest Jesus. I know, let's leg it. Or there's a soldier. Quick, I'll pick a fight with a servant who's unarmed. Nice one, Peter. You know, big man. And then, but what happens in the time between then and the day of Pentecost is that Jesus meets Peter and he restores him. He forgives him. Peter knows that him and God are okay again. And the second thing is that he's filled with the Holy Spirit. The disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, this motley crew of chickens, all of a sudden they're standing boldly in the middle of Jerusalem, in the middle of a festival, and they're speaking about God. They're bold. They're confident. Why? Are they confident in their own ability? Nope. What are they confident in? The fact that Jesus is alive and the Holy Spirit has given them the ability to share good news. So that's the first area that I think sometimes we have problems. Fear or lack of confidence. The second is fluff. Now, I call it fluff because it alliterates. That's as good as I can get. Fear and fluff. Basically, we don't know what to talk about. How do you start talking to someone about Jesus? You do have to put on a kind of creepy, evangelist voice, you know? You know, I'm just talking to you about, oh, did you see such and such in the paper the other day? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? I beg your pardon. What? And all of a sudden we can kind of get a little bit weird. So we need to just know what to say. We need to know what the Bible story is and how that relates to our life story, don't we? And then be normal about it because it's good news. And we don't want to kind of come across all salesman-y because it's not that. And so I have a simple statement that I'm going to mention to you a couple of times, and it's one that I heard from a fellow called Bill Bright, a man that I greatly respect. He was the president of Campus Crusade for Christ. I had the privilege of meeting him quite a number of years ago. And he had this phrase, success in witnessing. So we want to witness. We want to be successful witnesses, don't we? But what we sometimes do is we play little head games and go, I know what success in witnessing looks like. It's if I stepped outside of the thing and suddenly thousands were healed and everyone was falling on their knees and saying, oh, the holiness in your life, Ian. Come off it, you know. And then we read these books by people like Smith Wigglesworth, and we go, "Oh, I could never be like that." No, probably not. But what is success in witnessing? Success in witnessing is simply sharing Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. Did you get the last bit? Simply sharing Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. My part is to talk about Jesus. God's part is to do everything else. Because I can't do any of those other things, can I? So if I take responsibility for those, I'm just making my life unpleasant. So let's stop that. Let's calm down and say, what he has asked me to do, I can do. What he has said that he will do, I don't have to. I can simply share Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results to God. So, I want to share with you a very, very simple process to think through. And because of what we've done so far, I know that those of you that have been with us for the last few weeks have gone through this process. So don't think, oh no, I've got something else difficult to do. So the first thing, a simple process to work through, is firstly, if you're going to be a successful witness, I do think it's important to be sure you're a child of God. Make sure you're a Christian. Make sure you're a Christian. So answer that question in your head. Am I a Christian? Am I a child of God? Have I received that new life? Am I following Jesus as Lord? If you're not, speak to me afterwards and we can sort that out. But if you are, great. Tick. That's rung number one. Rung number two. Be sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. Because our hearts do condemn us when we're trying to pull the wool over God's eyes. which, even when you say it, it sounds like the dumbest thing that you can imagine. God knows what we've done. We try and hide it at our own expense. It robs us of peace and confidence. Whereas the Bible says when we step into the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses a small sin. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You remember that, don't you? We've talked about this. And so we confess our sin and God says, forgiven, dealt with, clean, sorted. And then, of course, we would want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about that as well. So we have our glass. We turn it the right way up. We make sure it's clean, and then God fills us. And we're filled by faith, not because of some special wording or some special emotion or anything like that, but simply because he has said, be filled with the Spirit. And he said that whenever we ask anything in his according to his will, he hears us. So we're filled with the Spirit by faith. We don't have to feel different. That's just making things hard work. So we confess our sins and we say, thank you that I'm forgiven. We ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit and we say, thank you that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. We're then ready to rock, aren't we? All we need now is a little bit of preparation. We need to be prepared to tell our story, don't we? We need to know, how can I tell about what God has done? And we were just singing it throughout my soul. How can I tell what God has done in a way that is understandable, is accessible, is approachable? You know, I remember when I first became a Christian, I went to hear, I think his name was Nicky Cruz. He was the Cross and the Switchblade or one of these people. Brilliant. And he was talking all about gangs in New York and drugs and prostitution and violent crime and all this kind of thing. And I was like, wow. And he made sort of appeal at the end, you know, God can change your life like he did mine. And I was thinking, well, he can't change my life like he did yours because my life isn't like yours. My life is boring. I haven't done any of those things. What I needed was to hear sort of Teddy Smith talking about how he grew up fairly boring and average, knew that there was something missing in his life, and then God met him and saved him. Then I'd be like, now there's a man I can identify with. If God can change my life like that, I want some of it. And in fact, that's exactly what happened to me. We all have different stories. They're not all fantastic, go on a world tour and tell it stories. Actually, some of the most believable and relatable stories are God touching people like us in the ways that he has. Because that people will relate to us better than to the kind of super duper miracle man. Don't you? Do you see what I mean? So I'm glad I'm normal. Well, normal. Boring. you know what I mean? It's good to be the way we are because God has given us our story to share the way that we are. But of course, we need to know his story as well, what Jesus has done for us, what the good news is. And so a little bit of preparation, a little bit of training even, would help. Hello, that sounds like a setup to tell you about some training that's coming up. I've mentioned this before. We're running the Living and Telling course from the 11th of April to the 9th of May. It's Monday nights. It's five Monday nights consecutive. It'll be a couple of hours each night. And I really, really would like all of you to come. I can't say it more simply than that. In my previous church, I ran this course probably a dozen times. And what we saw was a confidence that we didn't all suddenly become evangelists or go door knocking or being really annoying or any of that kind of thing. But there was a confidence in my story, his story, being forgiven, being filled with the Spirit and being able to be used by God. That sounds all right, doesn't it? So if I promise not to scare you or trick you, will you come along? So there'll be more details coming along, but that's April the 11th for 5 weeks on Monday nights. And I really, really do strongly, strongly commend it to you. Two other things that I want to say, just to finish off really. Praying is really important. We've got a new prayer meeting starting tomorrow. But for each of you, could I ask you to think of maybe 3 to 5 people that you would start to pray for? to kind of focus on those people over 2016 and say, God, I'm not saying I want to be the person that helps them become a Christian, but I want to pray that you would be good to them, that you would bless them, and that maybe someone would be able to share a bit of good news with them, that they might come to know you. Because I know that for me, the best thing that has ever happened in my life, and certainly the most eternally significant thing that has ever happened in my life, is becoming a Christian. Nothing else compares with it. So if I was going to think, what would be the most important thing that I could share with someone else? What do you think that would be? It would be about Jesus, wouldn't it? And it's just that straightforwardness, that down-to-earthness, saying, this is actually the most important thing that I could tell a person. And so I don't want to fluff it by being weird or being vague or talking someone through 66 books of the Bible, 4 hours later walking away thinking, oh, I knew there was something I'd forgotten. So the red heifer sacrifice in Leviticus 19, just keep it simple and normal. And so that's what the Living and Telling course would be. And start to pray. I want to just sort of finish by talking about respect and being normal. One of the things that I learned early on, because I went to Bible college a long, 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 long time ago, and me and a friend called Phil, we did a thing where we said we would not go to sleep at night without sharing the gospel with one person every day. Now, sometimes that meant that after Hannah had gone to sleep and it was about 11:30 at night, I'd sit there going, Phil's going to ask me tomorrow, I've got to go and find someone. And you don't get good conversation out of people leaving buildings just at kicking out time, have you noticed that? But there was that sense of wanting to discipline myself. But the thing is, when you do that kind of thing, and while it was kind of fun and kind of almost a dare, it's also disrespectful because people aren't a notch. And so I say that to my shame. If I had prayed and cared about people, if I had gone to people in love, rather than just trying to not have Phil rag me the following day, if I had gone with respect and just met that person rather than seeing them as a soul to be won, if I had seen them in that way, it would have been entirely different. And the way I see it is like fruit. I personally believe that the best thing that can happen to everyone is they come to know Jesus. That they receive eternal life and the peace and the power and the forgiveness that changes everything from the inside out. That lasts forever. That feels like coming home. And finding your place in the world in a way that nothing else does. And I believe that we're not all the same. And that one size does not fit all. There is only one gospel. There is only one Saviour. But we're not all at the same place in our lives. And I remember my dad, I couldn't find a plum tree, so this is an apple tree, but imagine they're plums. My dad had a big, big plum tree. And sometimes you could go to the plum tree and you'd see a plum and you'd give it a tug, but it was hard and it was green and it didn't want to come off. Now you could force it, but it would be bitter. Think. Analogy going on here. You could force it and it would be bitter. Yeah? Or you could just wait. Recognize that something was going on. Wait. And when it was ripe, it would just slide off in your hand. It would be the most natural thing in the world and would be sweet. And as we do Living and Telling, and as we start to pray, and as we start to go in love and respect, we ask a question. We ask that open question, how are you doing? Where are you with God in your life? And if that person is not ready, don't force it. Because that way we damage, we bruise, we shut doors instead of build bridges. And I've done so much of that in the past. But when we go because we care about people and we respect people are on their own journey, but the best thing that could ever happen to them is that they meet Jesus. then if not now, then God bless you, perhaps later, perhaps not even me. But we pray that God would do that work in their lives. What I want to do is show you a little clip. In fact, I'm going to ask Keith to show you a little clip. And it's Colin Pye speaking in his very own manner about the 40 days of purpose. And we're going to be doing Living and Telling as our participation in 40 days of purpose, which is a Baptist initiative. So here we go. There are some of those leaflets. It's just Colin being Colin, wasn't it? That's exactly what he's like all the time. But wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be brilliant to do that? So there's the opportunity. I know that we've got things like Cameo and the Craft Group that have already started. So they started daring greatly before the 40 days. But you know what I mean. Let's take the opportunity. I just want to say one more time. Success in witnessing is simply sharing Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. If we do that, we find our place and he finds his place in us. Let's have a word of prayer before we sing again.